I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
And we are back, folks, on the Michigan Insider, michigan.247sports.com. I'm Alejandro Zuniga, here with another episode of Behind Enemy Lines. This is the show where we take a closer look at the Michigan football team's upcoming opponent. Very excited to have a football game to talk about. I think if you polled Michigan fans, the Michigan team, and the Michigan coaches, this is a game that all of a sudden became a lot more interesting, the Rutgers game, simply because of what happened after the Michigan State game last Saturday. That's not a topic we're going to cover on this podcast. Instead, I'm very excited to have with me Bobby Darin. He covers Rutgers for 24/7 Sports, our 24/7 Sports site, Scarlet Nation. Bobby, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, very excited. Like I said, it's been a very emotional week. It's been a very, just a very busy period after that Michigan State game. That was a game, of course, that Michigan had circled on its schedule, from spring, from fall camp, as one of their goals of the season. Winning that game was one of the four goals for the program this year. So that's emotional in its own right. Of course, the events, what happened post-game, has taken on a life of its own. So just having a game is, it makes me very happy. Gives us something else to talk about. So it's the Wolverines and the Scarlet Knights, 7:30 p.m. out in Piscataway, New Jersey. Bobby, I'm really going to lean on you for this one, given how busy we've been post-game with Michigan State. Rutgers is a program that, it's climbed up out of, out of its what seemed like a real rock bottom. There was a span of 3 seasons in 4 years, I think it was, where they didn't win a game in the Big Ten Conference. Last year, Rutgers, put a scare into Michigan at the Big House. It was, a game that gets forgotten a little bit given how the season ended for Michigan, but that was a one possession football game that Rutgers was in up until pretty much the very end. Mm-hmm. This was a season that started well for Rutgers, hasn't gone quite so well in the Big Ten season again. So I guess, Bobby, if you could just give us a quick recap of how the season's gone for the Scarlet Knights.
Sure, Alejandro. It's been really, a tale of two units, I should say, because the defense has played really well all season. They were seventh coming in, ranked nationally, coming into last week's game against Minnesota. Now they're down to 13, but that number is kind of a little skewed because they didn't play the toughest of opponents. But it has played well enough for Rutgers to win all their games outside of that Minnesota and the Ohio State game. But the offense has just been sputtering. There's been quarterback injuries, and they're still looking for help at wide receivers. So while the defense is on track, it's really been carrying the team the last couple years through this Shiano rebuild. And even through this season, you look at their four wins, and they got there on the strength of their defense, that the offense has just been, you know, it's been spinning its tires and going nowhere. Now, the addition of Gavin Wimsett as a quarterback, you know, he's a full-time starter now, true freshman, enrolled early last year, one of the guys that come out of high school that did that, you know, along with yours. He's really, you know, just kind of in the learning phase now. So they're hoping that'll give him some kind of spark. But really, it's a team that relies on its defense heavily.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about that offense. It's one that has not performed up to standards this season. Certainly, when you fire your offensive coordinator halfway through the season, that kind of gives you an indication of how things are going. I think from an outsider's perspective, the thing that was most interesting, you know, you don't necessarily pay too much attention to a team you haven't faced yet. But when you're seeing headlines like Rutgers playing four quarterbacks in five offensive snaps, that's like, that just makes you like, whoa, what's going on? Yeah. I know it's a new offensive coordinator. It seems like Rutgers has stepped away from that a little bit. When I look at it, it's more like at least they're trying to put and keep their best players on the field at the same time, as opposed to always rotating them. I guess, is that an accurate assessment? And then, you know, Gavin Wimsett, he was a four-star recruit. He's one of the, if not the highest rated quarterback recruit Rutgers has gotten in quite some time. Mm-hmm. He is now the starter. He will be making his second Big Ten start and I think third start overall. You know, what should Michigan fans expect from him on Saturday?
I mean, he's got a strong arm. He can run the ball. He got hurt running the ball, actually, when Sean Gleason was still the offensive coordinator. Just had him running, a play right up the middle, kind of like a fullback dive type play. Sorry, I'm in the stadium right now. They're testing the sound system. I don't know if you hear that.
You're good.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you know, working for the press box today after practice. But, you know, they basically just, take him and try to put him in scenarios where he can be successful as a first-year quarterback. So, it's not going to be too complex, but he's a guy that they're going to get out and get on the run. He throws well on the run. And then, you know, he can also keep defenses a little bit honest with his feet because he can move the ball on the ground. But, they kind of avoided the bad decisions that he was making early on. And it really he's really starting to show. He showed some growth last week. The numbers didn't show it. He had a lot of drops from his receivers. Just, it's a learning phase. And they figured, you know, let's let him loose now and let him get the experience.
Yeah, speaking of those receivers, there's a couple that stand out or a couple names that might be known to Michigan fans. I guess the one main one is Aaron Cruikshank. He leads the team in receptions. He has a couple of receiving touchdowns. He's also a pretty solid punt and kick returner and has also carried the ball a few times out of the backfield. Another guy, Sean Ryan, he transferred from West Virginia. He leads the Scarlet Knights right now in receiving yards. And then speaking to the run game, you know, I know that Wimsett, you mentioned, can run the ball. Unfortunately for the Scarlet Knights, their main running option, their freshman running back, blanking on the name, was it Sam Brown? Am I right with that?
Hurt.
All right. He suffered a season-ending injury a couple games ago, and it really seemed like that impacted the offensive output last week against Minnesota. That was a 31-0 final. So outside of Wimsett, skill position players, anyone that Michigan fans should be watching, anyone who would be a weapon for the Scarlet Knights against Michigan?
I mean, offensively, it's tough. I asked Greg about this, you know, just earlier today about Aaron Young, who is a running back who was slated to be the starter, was hurt in the Gator Bowl last year, had knee surgery, came back for just briefly against Indiana, then last week against Minnesota, had a couple runs. He looked good, but they're just waning him back because it's been a process. So I expect to see him get a few more carries. I don't know how much of a workload they'll put on him, but he's probably their best option now with Sam Brown being out. kind of a shame what happened to him, because he was really starting to come on. He was Rutgers' best offensive player, true freshman, composite four-star out of Philadelphia. And, you know, just had a foot injury, and they had to shut him down for the season, had to get surgery. So he was their best offensive weapon. So when it comes to the passing game, you mentioned Sean Ryan. He's had a few moments, but he's not a guy that's going to light you up for, you know, 9-10 catches for the game. It's really just kind of like, let's see what we can do and piece together something with these receivers. It hasn't been pretty this year. They really need to get someone to really help Wimsett out. But there's not that playmaker. Aaron Cruickshank is a guy probably would be the best playmaker by default. Really made his mark more so as a kick returner, you know, was a former special team player of the year in the Big Ten. But they try to get him the ball on offense, and I expect him to do that again. But there isn't a guy that's really going to strike fear in the defenses, especially Michigan defense.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. You know, you certainly expect when you have a freshman quarterback that, you know, as he gets more experience under his belt, that he will, you know, become more comfortable. You know, you don't expect receivers to have quite as many drops as maybe they did against Minnesota. Mm-hmm. But this is also, it's a tough defense for anyone to go against, much less a freshman. You know, the Michigan defense brings unique pressures, you know, some specialty blitz packages. They do a pretty good job of disguising what they're going to do. That's tough for any college quarterback, much less a 19-year-old who's making his third start. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. After the break, we're going to talk about the significantly better unit on the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, which is the defense.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And we are back, folks, on the Michigan Insider. We are going behind enemy lines, talking about the Rutgers Scarlet Knights with Bobby Darin, who covers Rutgers for Scarlet Nation, our 24/7 site. Bobby, we just finished talking about the offense, you know, an offense that has really struggled throughout the season. The defense, on the other hand, you alluded to this earlier, but this is a defense that's, you know, quietly, or maybe not so quietly, actually been pretty solid. You know, they're allowing under 300 yards per game, which is top 15 in the country. They're surrendering just 22.5 points per game, which is top 50 in the country. Now, it must be said that, you know, Mo Ibrahim last week over at Minnesota was able to have a very solid game. You know, he had 30 plus carries, 150 plus yards, and 3 touchdowns. So it's not necessarily a defense that's going to shut everyone down. At the same time, though, I've looked at these Rutgers box scores, and it's like, if the offense had more of a pulse, the second half would be much more competitive in pretty much every game. So Bobby, what are the strengths of this defense? I know it's a Greg Schiano team, so you expect some things when you face a Greg Schiano team. What should Michigan expect going into Piscataway on Saturday?
You know, they play good fundamental. They play a swarm type defense, and it's not really highlighted by one guy. You know, there's some top performers, but they're not. You know, it's not a defense that thrives on a linebacker getting 15 tackles or an edge rusher getting 3 sacks a game. It's really about these guys just kind of doing their job. And Rutgers has been solid at all three levels of the defense. You know, they've had good play from their secondary for the most part, strong linebacker play. And the defensive line is probably the best unit of the bunch. They're getting a little banged up with little bumps and bruises here and there. But it's been just consistent play from all three levels. And you know, they're at their best when they're taking the football away, creating turnovers. But it's been a unit that even when it's let up some big plays, it's been able to you know, find its footing and not let the game get away from them. And, you know, against Iowa, for example, Rutgers gave up two defensive touchdowns, you know, the offense, I'm sorry, off turnovers. So they lost 27-10. You take that away, and your defense played well enough for them to be right there in the game. But you really hit the nail on the head. The offense just hasn't done anything. So by the end of the game, you're seeing that defense start to, you know, hands on their hips and get a little tired. And the scores, you know, start to get a little worse than they actually are.
Yeah, it was very it was eye-opening to look at that Minnesota game and to see, well, it was 14-0 at halftime, but also at the same time, you know, the Golden Gophers had their first drive of the game went 99 yards. It was like 18 plays. Most of them were running plays. It was the sort of thing where they, you know, it took up like 10 plus minutes too. It was like an entire quarter. It was like watching, you know, watching Army, like watching a triple option team just put a chokehold on a game. And as I think about Michigan and I think about how they might approach this, I mean, if you ask Jim Harbaugh how he wanted to win a football game, I think he would answer, you know, let's snap the ball, hand it off to our, you know, Heisman caliber tailback and let him grind it out and put this game into a chokehold, reduce the number of, you know, momentum swinging opportunities for Rutgers. I think we saw against Iowa that Michigan would be very content, you know, taking what's there, not necessarily putting up explosive numbers on the offensive side of the ball, but also limiting the number of chances that the opponent had for, you know, for swinging the game with its defense. So I know you mentioned it's not really a defense that's full of stars, that's relying on one player. Is there one guy though, or a couple guys that you think Michigan fans, the Michigan team, should have its eyes on as potential playmakers?
Keep an eye on Aaron Lewis, who actually was at Michigan for a semester, transferred back here. He'll be closer to home for some family issues. He's having a really good season at defensive end. Him and Wesley Bailey, Canadian defensive end, they're their starters. They really create a lot of havoc on the edge. And in the middle, you have a six-year former defensive tackle from Temple, transferred in, Efine Mejia. He's having a very good season as well. These are guys, you know, that are going to be draft prospects too. So they've been having really good seasons. Tyreen Powell and Deion Jennings have been playing well at linebacker. Then you get into the secondary, and Max Melton's a guy who was supposed to have a really big year. Starting to put it together now. Safety play has been questionable at times. You mentioned that drive against Minnesota, the first drive. It started on the 1 yard line, and safety Christian Izian came in on a blitz, and they set the play up perfectly, but he just bounced right off the legs of Ibrahim. And it would have been a safety if he could have made the tackle.
Well, all right then. We will obviously see how this plays out on Saturday. Bobby, I always like to end with a prediction. It doesn't necessarily have to be a score prediction, but just how you think this game will play out. I'll say the way I look at it. I hear talk about this being a trap game, and I do buy it, just in the sense that, you know, Michigan just accomplished one of its season goals, but also the beating of Michigan State has then turned into a national storyline about what happened afterward. It's turned into police investigations and on. And right. With, you know, it's the first college football playoff rankings just dropped, and all of a sudden it's November, and it's easy to look down the line and say, well, there's Illinois come to town. And then obviously there's Ohio State. At the same time though, given what Minnesota was able to do on the ground against Rutgers, I think this is a game I feel pretty comfortable that Michigan can go into Piscataway, play a pretty simple, straightforward game, reduce the number of mistakes, not that they ever make too many mistakes on offense, but really limit the opportunity for those, and come away with a comfortable win that never really feels too much in question. How do you think it plays out on Saturday?
Yeah, very similar. I think, you know, they'll come in, and even if Rutgers get some series where they, you know, they get a stop or they, you know, do something offensively. It's not going to sustain for four quarters. It's just too much of a disparity from one side to the other. I don't think Harbaugh runs it up like crazy on Rutgers. I could see Rutgers getting a touchdown and maybe keeping Michigan some field goals, but it's going to be a game, you know, 35-7 or 36-7, something of that nature. I just don't see this Rutgers team, even if they come out and play their best football, you know, they just don't have the guys on offense to really, you know, keep pace and Michigan. So, you know, the matchup just favors Michigan heavily. And I don't see this one being close going into, you know, the late third, fourth quarter.
Well, Bobby, appreciate you giving your insight to everyone listening. Thank you so much for listening. For myself, Alejandro Zuniga over at the Michigan Insider, Bobby, who covers Rutgers over at 24/7 Sports for Scarlet Nation. This has been Behind Enemy Lines. We will of course be in Piscataway this Saturday and back at it with another episode next week. Thank you so much for listening. Peace.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.